Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Marty, for leading us in worship this morning. In praise of our Savior and King, Jesus. And praise God for the salvation that we have that we can give thanks for. Amen. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 through 28. 11 through 28. We're going to read a really long passage today. And ultimately, I'm going to break this long passage down into three sermons, actually it may be more than that, but we're going to break it down into multiple sermons, but I want us to read it in its totality, because it's going to show us the big picture. It's going to show us the big picture. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, the author is telling us his main point, and I don't have it on the screen, so be relieved, Pam, you're good, okay? It's not up there. I don't have it up there. But in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, "Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, who one is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man." And so when we read verses 11 through 28, we're seeing this main point being made. And so what we're going to see and what we're going to read today is chapter 7, verses 11 through 28. So join me in reading that. The Word of God says, "Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with the tribe of that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witness of him, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" Verse 18, "For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever.' This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant." Verse 23, "The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted from the heavens, or excuse me, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much just to be able to gather here and to worship you and to praise you and to serve you, Lord. To read your word, Lord, and to hear your word preached, as well as to sing your word. God, we just come to you this morning and we just want to pray that you will help us to see that you are the better priest that brings a better hope and a better covenant. That we will see that this morning. That we will believe that this morning. That we will know it this morning. And we will trust that you are the one who has made perfection attainable. We will trust that you are the one who is the king of our lives as Christians. And so God, this morning I pray that you just help me to preach your word, Lord. That I preach it with simplicity, with clarity, and passion, Lord. And I preach nothing but your word and your word alone. And so God, I pray this morning that you will clear our minds of all distractions, Lord. And help us to focus on you and your word alone. That you will open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our ears, and open our minds to see, hear, believe, and know your word and your truth this morning. And God, I pray that there's one here this morning who has never believed in you, never trusted in you as Savior of their life, Lord, that they will see that they can be made perfect through you, and they will believe and repent of their sins this morning. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I got new glasses. In case you didn't know that, I've never had glasses before, never had contacts before, but I got new glasses a couple of weeks ago. I went to the eye doctor and the guy said I have a small astigmatism, and I was like, no way, never thought that would happen in my life. My pride got the best of me as I was sitting there going like this with the new glasses and going, no, y'all done messed my eyes up. Nothing was wrong before you gave me these glasses. And they're like, no, that's just the way it's supposed to be. That's how you're supposed to see. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. My eyes were fine. Y'all messed them up, you know. But what I've come to realize is this. New glasses is better than my vision. Ultimately, new is always better, right? Or in this case, it is better for me because I can actually see that screen back there a lot more clearly than I could before. Really surprised me that I could actually read those words without having to squint just a little bit. I could read them before, but now I can read them even better. But new is always better. The next thing is always better than the old thing. Version 2 is always better than version 1. At least that's what they say, right? I'm certain many of you, like myself, are not always fans of the next best thing or the next new thing because we've learned that sometimes new isn't better. Sometimes it's worse. New washers and dryers, they just don't last as long as the old ones do they? New air conditioner units, they just don't last as long as the old ones do. New tools, they just don't last. They break, they fall apart, they just don't last as long as the old ones do. New vehicles don't even seem to last as long as the old ones do. And in my opinion, the older vehicles even look better than the new vehicles. New isn't always better, is it? But sometimes new is better. For me, glasses. New is better. There's no questioning, though, what we're going to talk about today, that the new priest, Jesus, is better. The new priest is better. He is infinitely better. There's no questioning at all if Jesus is better or not. He's just better. And we're going to see today that there are several reasons why Jesus is the better priest. And today and next Sunday and the next Sunday from Hebrews chapter 7 verses 11 through 28, we're going to explore seven reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. A lot of words there. Better priest, better hope, better covenant. That's all you got to remember. And that's going to be the sermon title for the next three Sundays. And it's just going to be part one, part two, and part three for three Sundays as we explore these seven reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. And for the early Hebrew church, this was crucial for them to understand. It was so important for them to understand that Jesus is the better priest. The Levitical priests of the Old Covenant were no more because Jesus is new and Jesus is better. Now, when I say Jesus is new, trust me, I don't mean that Jesus is new because Jesus is eternally past and He's eternally future, okay? Understand that. When I say Jesus is new, I mean He is new as a priest. He is the new priest. The Levitical priests are old. Jesus is the new priest. And today, almost 2,000 years removed from the time of this letter, Hebrews, being written, the idea of Jesus being the better priest does not hit as hard as it would have that Hebrew church. None of us have ever had to go to a priest and make sacrifices for us and our sins, have we? It's likely that none of you were Jews before converting to Christianity. And so that makes this passage not hit as hard. It makes us have to think about it a little bit differently. And so what does this passage ultimately mean for us today? And so my purpose in preaching this sermon to you today is for you to continue to place your full trust in Jesus, because He is the better hope. Who is your hope in? Is Jesus your hope today? Is Jesus your better hope today? I think often we hope in things, right? We put our hope in other things. But is Jesus better than the other things you put your hope in? Or is your hope in something or someone else entirely? Well, let me ask you this question. Is your hope in yourself? I think that oftentimes we make ourselves our very own priest. And what I mean by that is we think that I can do it. I can do it on my own. I can earn it. I can make a way. I can overcome this sin problem on my own. I can be good enough to be saved and get to heaven. I can be moral enough that, you know, God will just accept me for who I am and I can get to heaven and be saved. I trust myself for salvation. And this, in a sense, kind of makes us our very own priest, doesn't it? But church, this passage today is going to teach us that we have a better priest than even ourselves. Because we, like the priest of the old covenant, cannot bring about perfection. We cannot make ourselves perfect. We are not the priest king. We will summon to bodily descent and death. We are weak and useless and can't give ourselves a better hope. But church, Jesus can. Jesus can give us a better hope. So whom is your better priest this morning? You or Jesus? This Sunday, because I didn't think any of you would want to be here past noon today, we're going to look at the first two reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. And next Sunday and the following Sunday, as I've already stated, we'll look at the next five reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. And so consider this a three-part sermon. It's my first time ever doing this, but consider this a three-part sermon from like the same passage over extended amount of time with the same sermon title. But the first reason that we see today is that the better priest allows perfection to be attained. The better priest allows perfection to be attained. The first reason that we see comes from verses 11 through 12. I'm not going to read all of it again. It's up there for you to reference if you would like to, or you can look in your Bible yourself and see it there. But this first reason, the first is that we should understand that perfection is unattainable through the Levitical priesthood. Perfection could not be attained. It was impossible for people to be made perfect. It was unattainable, as our passage says here, through the Levitical priests. And in case you're wondering who the Levitical priests were, they were the designated tribe of people from the tribe of Levi. They were that tribe, and they were the designated people from the Israelites to act as priests before God and before all the other people. They acted on behalf of all the other tribes. They would make sacrifices. They would make offerings to God on behalf of the people of Israel, and that was their role. However, they could not bring about perfection. They just couldn't do it. They could not make anyone perfect and righteous. No matter the number of sacrifices, the innumerable sacrifices that they made could not make anybody perfect. They could not make anyone righteous. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't remove the sins of the people forever. They may have removed them momentarily, but that was just it. It was only for a moment. Because the very next day, guess what they were doing? They're making sacrifices again. And on the Day of Atonement, where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of Israel as a whole, he did that every single year. Our author in Hebrews here has previously discussed in chapter 2 how the rule of man will be restored. Adam lost his rule over creation due to sin, and due to sin, we as humans no longer can have full rule over creation. But we see at some point in the future, in the new heaven and the new earth, as we've learned several weeks ago, that we will be restored to rule over creation. Those who believe in Jesus, that is. The priest of the old covenant, guess what? They could not restore that rule. They couldn't do it. Perfection was unattainable. No one could be made righteous and perfect by the Levitical priests. And the reason is because they too were sinners. They too made mistakes. They too failed. And if perfection could have been attained through them, then there would have been no reason at all for another priest, as our passage says, after the order of Melchizedek. We've also discovered that this priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is Jesus. And this brings us to the second thing. Perfection is attainable through the better priest, Jesus. Perfection is attainable through Jesus. Jesus was not like the Old Testament priest. He was entirely different. And we will see more of how Jesus was different than the Old Testament priests here in a moment, and even next week and the week after, as we see that Jesus was made perfect. He was holy. He was righteous. There was no sin in Him. But for today, Jesus was different because perfection is attainable through Him. We can be made perfect through Jesus and Him alone. Now, you have to remember, God is a holy and righteous God, right? And in order for us to have a relationship with Him, in order for us to be saved, in order for us to go to heaven, we have to be made like who? God, right? We have to be holy and righteous just as He is. But can we do that on our own? We can't. As we just discovered, the Levitical priests can't make us perfect and holy and righteous either, can they? But, as we know, Jesus can. Jesus can. Because He was righteous, because of His righteous blood, we can be made perfect, holy, righteous. Does it mean we're still going to make mistakes here in this earthly body? Absolutely it does. But because Jesus' blood washes over us, when God looks at us, who does He see? He sees Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who has made us perfect. We read last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So we're going to read it again this week because it's such a good verse. For our sake, He made Him. He made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see that? It is in Jesus. It is in Jesus that we are made righteous. It is in Jesus that we are made perfect. We go on and read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in who? Christ. The righteousness from God depends on faith. Perfection, righteousness, cannot be attained by following the law or by the priest of the old covenant. It can only be attained in Christ. By faith in Christ. Who are you relying on this morning to be made perfect? Who are you relying on this morning to be made righteous in order to have a relationship with God? Are you relying on yourself, or are you relying on Jesus, the better priest? This perfection, this righteousness that is attained through Jesus, it is our salvation. And in order for us to be in relationship with God, as I've already stated, we have to be made perfect like He is. And so this leads us to the third thing. The better priest changed the law. The better priest changed the law. I think I might have it up there. We'll look and see. No, I don't. That's okay. There it is. All right. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law. The law here was only that Levites could serve as priests. Only Levites could serve as priests. The law was you must do this and follow every command there is in order to be perfect or righteous. But the better priest, Jesus, has changed the law. The law of Moses is no longer enforced because Jesus has changed the law. The law is no longer only Levites can serve as priests. The law is no longer you must do this and do this and do this in order to be perfect or righteous. The law is now simply this: repent and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Place your faith in the better priest, Jesus Christ. Trust in the work of Jesus. Believe in the work of Jesus. Repent of your sins, and He will save you. Praise God for the change in the law, right? Praise God this morning. Give thanks, as we sang earlier, for the change of the law. Because if the law was still in place, guess what we would be doing every day? We would be doing our best. We would be living in fear. We would be trembling in fear, afraid that we're not going to be saved because we are not good enough. Because we are afraid we made a mistake. But because of the change of the law, guess what? Jesus is the one who makes us perfect. Jesus is the one who makes us righteous. And when we make a mistake, Guess what? It's already been forgiven. His grace, His mercy, they've already covered every sin into the future. Every sin into the future. Paul ultimately demonstrates all of this for us in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. He says this, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God." Now ultimately what this is saying here is that the law does do something good. It exposes sin. Does that make sense? The law exposes sin. It tells people they are sinners, that they have messed up. We go into verse 20 here. "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." And then in verse 22a here it says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." The law has been changed. The law has been changed because of Jesus becoming the great and final priest, the one who can give perfection. And this morning, if you have never believed and never repented of your sins and never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I want you to know that you are separated from God and you are destined for hell. Or maybe you're here this morning and you think that because you have lived a good moral life, because you go to church on a regular basis, because you think that you are just morally good enough on your own merit to get into heaven, I want you to know this morning that you are separated from God and you're destined for hell. See, I've already stated, God is a holy God. He's a righteous God, and in order for us to be in relationship with Him, we have to be made righteous. We have to be made holy. In order to get out of the wrath of Him sending us to hell, we have to be made perfect and made righteous. If you continue reading that Romans passage in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 there, we don't have it up there, it goes on and says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And what he's saying is this, we are all sinners, unholy, unrighteous, and separated from God. And so if you've never believed in Jesus Christ this morning, or if you believe that you are good enough to get to heaven on your own moral self, I want you to know that the Bible says otherwise. And I want to encourage you this morning to believe in Jesus. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on yourself. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And repent of your sins, and you will be saved. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you right now to just respond to the good news of salvation by believing and repenting of sins. And if you do that this morning, I just want to encourage you to have a conversation with a faithful believing friend or faithful believing family member, or even have a conversation with me at the end of the service to talk about the rest of what it means to follow Jesus. Because believing and repenting of your sins is just the first step of a long journey of following Jesus and trusting in Him as Savior and Lord. Church, may we never, ever forget. May we never, ever forget that we are made perfect through the better priest, Jesus Christ. And because we're made perfect through the better priest, Jesus Christ, we ultimately have a better hope. But now let's turn to our next reason why Jesus is the better priest. And this is also one reason why the law was changed. The better priest The better priest is a king. The better priest is a king. Now, I know that we've already highlighted this a few times before, but repetition's never hurt anybody, has it? Repetition has never hurt anybody, and hearing it one more time will ultimately help us to remember it that much more, that Jesus is king. And it seems here that the author of Hebrews is also really wanting to make known to this Hebrew church audience, he's really wanting to drive home that Jesus is king. Because he himself has repeated it multiple times. I'm only repeating it multiple times because Hebrews repeats it multiple times. So it's obviously important. And he ultimately demonstrates that for us here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13, where he says, "For the one of him these things are spoken belong to another tribe from which there has ever served at the altar." If you go on to verse 14, it says that he came from the tribe of Judah. These two verses, there is just one thing that the author is wanting us to know. And it's that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah rather than the tribe of Levi. And that was super important to recognize because priests were only supposed to come from the tribe of Levi. There's a reason they're called Levitical priests. You hear the word there? Levi, Levitical. They came from the tribe of Levi. And as verse 13 clearly states here, no one has ever been a priest from the tribe of Levi. No one has ever come from another tribe until now. And the law was changed because of Jesus, meaning that someone from the tribe of Judah could be a priest. But that isn't all the author is wanting us to know here. He's also wanting us to see the kingship of Jesus. The reference to Judah is also a clear indicator that points to the kingship of Jesus. We see in the genealogy of Matthew that Jesus is a direct descendant from the tribe of Judah. But guess who else is also from the tribe of Judah? King David. And the kingship of David ultimately points forward to the kingship of Jesus. We're actually told in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, these very words. And it's a prophecy. He goes on to say, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch." See that word branch there? See how that letter is capitalized? The letter B is capitalized? It's telling us something. It's telling us that Jesus is that branch. Jesus is the branch. Jesus is the righteous branch. And what's he going to do? He shall reign as what? King. And deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. This branch is Jesus, King Jesus, as he reigns as a king. And this is new. In the old covenant, priests were priests and kings were kings. And no one was to be a priest and a king. The few times that we see that a priest and a king tries to take the priest's role, we see King Josiah, I believe, or is it King Uzziah? One of the Uzziahs or Josiah, I think it's King Uzziah, where he tries to go into the temple and offer sacrifices and offerings to the Lord, and the Lord ultimately brings upon himself leprosy. God curses him because he was a king and not a priest. Priests were priests, kings were kings. And the only time we ever see in the Bible of them being combining is in Melchizedek. But as we learned last week, Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, right? He's not after the order of the Levitical priest. No other time in the Bible is there a person who is a priest and a king until Jesus. Jesus is the better priest who is a king. And this means something for us today. Not only is Jesus our Savior, but He's also our King. He's our King. And as a king, guess what? Jesus can care for us, and Jesus can protect us. That was the ultimate role of the king, right? To care and protect. Jesus as king, he can care infinitely. He can protect us infinitely. And so this morning I ask you, are you trusting King Jesus this morning? Are you trusting King Jesus to not only be your Savior, but also the very one who protects and cares for you deeply? Deeply protects you and cares for you. So often I believe we think that we can protect ourselves, don't we? That we can care for ourselves better than anyone else. We can make our own decisions on how to protect and care for us. And that leads us to a point where we trust ourselves more than we trust the care and protection of Jesus. Church, we have a King who cares deeply for us. And may I remind you of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Jesus. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your troubles, all your worries, all your concerns, everything that you going on in your mind that causes you to have anxiety, cast them on Jesus. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for you. Are you casting your anxieties and cares on Jesus this morning? Or are you casting them and holding on to them yourself? Thinking that you can take care of those cares, that you can take care of those anxieties, hoping that they'll just go away. I want to encourage you today to remember and know that as King Jesus, He can care for you and protect you far more, infinitely more, than we can ever protect ourselves. This makes me think of even my own self. I have a daughter and I have a wife. And I like to drive. Not because I don't trust Ashton or anything like that. Forgive me, Ashton, here, okay? I didn't talk about this with you before, but forgive me. But I feel like because I'm in control of the vehicle, I can protect and care for my family. Does that make sense? Does anybody else feel like that? No? But you know what? Even me, even myself, can't protect and care for Ashton and Auden the way that he can. And there's no greater blessing, no greater reason to give thanks to the Lord than knowing that He can care more for them than I can. And I can trust Him in that. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you to trust and remember that Jesus is the one who can care infinitely more for you, infinitely more for your family than anyone else can, including yourself. To go a step farther, I think of no better psalm than Psalm 23 that highlights this care and protection that Jesus can give. So when those anxieties rise up, those concerns, those cares that you have rise up in your heart and you feel vulnerable and unprotected, remember Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is why King Jesus is our better hope. This is why we have a sure and steadfast anchor of hope, as we learned a couple weeks ago. Anchor into Jesus and let Him be the one who cares for you and protects you. Let Him be your shepherd. Let Him lead you beside still waters. Let Him guide you to paths of righteousness. Let Jesus lead you, care for you, and protect you. This morning in our sermon, we've seen two reasons why Jesus, the better priest, is a better hope and brings a better covenant. The first reason we saw is the better priest allows perfection to be attained. Perfection, righteousness, was unattainable through the Levitical priest, and if it was attainable, there would have been no need for another priest after the order of Melchizedek. No reason for Jesus to be our priest. But through the better priest, Jesus, perfection is attainable. And it is attained by believing in the work of Jesus and repenting of our sins. We also saw that the better priest is a king. Jesus, from the tribe of Judah, royal blood, royal lineage, rather than the tribe of Levi, indicates that not only Jesus was a priest, but He was also a king. Jesus, as a descendant of Judah, a descendant of David, is the king God promised. He was the Messiah that was to be a king. Jesus changed the law by not only being a priest, but by also being a priest king. Is Jesus better in your life? Is Jesus better than anything else in your life? Is Jesus your priest, the one who has made you righteous, made you perfect? Is Jesus your better hope? Church, I want to encourage you this week and even every day after that to remember that Jesus is better. To remember that He is better than you. He is better than that sin you've been struggling with. He's better than that addiction you have. He is better than any possession you may have. He can care better than you. He can protect better than you. He can even save you. Jesus is just better. He's just better. As I stated earlier in the very beginning, the new is better. Church, let us remember that the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus and Him being the better priest, Lord, and Him being the better hope, Lord, and being the one who brings a better covenant, as we will soon see in a couple weeks, Lord. God, this morning, I just want to give thanks for Jesus and the perfection that He gives to His children, that He gives to those who believe in Him and repent of their sins, that He gives to those who trust Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. Because without that perfection, without that righteousness that we have in Jesus, we would not be saved and we would not be in relationship with the Holy God. And God, this morning, I thank You for Jesus being a king, the one who cares, and the one who protects for us immensely. Immensely more than we can ever care and protect ourselves. Immensely care and protect the ones we love and the ones we care more than we can ever care and protect them. And God, I pray that we just remember that You are our shepherd. You are the one who leads us. You are the one who guides us. We have no reason to fear in the valley of the shadow of death, because You are with us, because You care for us and You protect us. Lord, I pray that we will just look and find places in our lives where You are not better. that we will make you better than the sin, better than the addiction, better than the possession, better than anything else in our life, Lord. That you will be better in every part of us. God, we just pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.